Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. This has been a difficult week in many ways. Our nation has been hurting and suffering. We are seeing images every day of anger and fear. We are often overcome with feelings of helplessness and fear in our own hearts. Everywhere we look, hostility and anger seem to exist and continue to grow. We are being reminded that so many things are beyond our control. And compounded on top of that is the fact that because of the situation with the virus in our nation and in our world, we've already been feeling that now for several months this year. These feelings of being overwhelmed and helpless kind of build on one another as we've seen the events of racial tension, protest, and anger this past week in our nation. Sometimes, because these things are so overwhelming, we meet them with more fear or cynicism or anger of our own, not really knowing necessarily how to react. But it's important to remember that God speaks to these issues and God offers hope for our lives. We seek to analyze some of the topics that we've been looking at in our nation within the last week in a sermon series that we're starting here. And our theme is very simple. God so loved the world. We return to that simple and well-known gospel message from John 3:16 because it encapsulates for us what Jesus has done for us, but also that it applies to all people. And at a time where there's so many divisions, and those divisions seem to get deeper and wider each day, we need that message to remind us that Jesus is the Savior of the whole world, and that it's through the love of God that we meet these challenges that we face. This morning, in part one of this series, we look at the topic that's really on everyone's mind, that really has begun all of the events that we've seen this week, and that is the topic of racism. What is it? What does God say about it? What can we do about it? Those are some of the thoughts that we look at this morning. Now, no doubt this week you've seen many takes on racism, on as far as what people think it is and how it manifests itself in our lives and what we should do about it. Everyone seems to have a little bit of their own personal understanding of this topic and how racism affects our lives today, and even within the Christian community, what we need to be doing about it. We have to be careful about that sometimes, though, because even as Christians, many of our opinions and ideas can be laced with our own thoughts instead of being led by the Word of God, and can be motivated and led by personal opinion rather than by truth. So this morning we're going to take a step back as a church, and instead of discussing our own opinions left and right about this, we're going to try to look back to what God's Word has to say about this topic. We're going to try to listen this morning to God and hear what He has to say about what racism is and why it's a problem, but also about what we can do about it. While we readily grant that you won't find the word racism in the Bible, you'll see the underlying thoughts and intentions of the heart all over the place and discussed in the Bible. Racism is really a problem that goes back to sin. And it's a problem that manifests itself in the way that we look at others, as so many other sins are. So God may not use the word racism directly in His Word, but He definitely touches on a number of the underlying causes and feelings that go into an evil like racism. What's also important for us to remember this morning is that we can speak out against racism and we can find a solution to it, because both of those thoughts go back to what Christ has done for us. Christ redeemed all of humanity from sin so that they would be known as His own, so that they would have the label of forgiven and redeemed instead of being categorized by the labels of sinful humans to one another. But it's also valuable to recognize what Christ did, because it's the way out. It's the way out of demeaning one another with slights and insults and judging one another based on how we look or based on the particular culture that we come from. The way out of that is through what Jesus has given to us in the gospel, not through any method or device of our own doing. So to see and learn from an example in God's word today, one that hits upon many of the very same themes we've seen in our nation this past week, we take a look at Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak, "Now I really understand that God doesn't show favoritism, but in every nation the person who fears him and does righteousness is acceptable to him. He sent the message to the Israelites proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. You know the events that took place throughout Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God was with him. We ourselves are witnesses of everything he did in both the Judean country and in Jerusalem. Yet they killed him by hanging him on a tree. God raised up this man on the third day and permitted him to be seen, not by all the people, but by us, witnesses appointed beforehand by God, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to solemnly testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that through his name, everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins." This is God's holy and inspired word before us today, and we seek to listen to God and to learn and be encouraged in our faith. The first thing we see is that racism is wrong because of our relationship with God. We often think of the evil of racism in terms of how we look at one another, and certainly that is very applicable to the topic. But God asks us to go back and think about how he views us, to go back to his word and consider the way that he views us and how that should shape how we look at one another. It doesn't matter who you are. God directs your attention to what he thinks about you. We see this in verse 34 as Peter says, "Now I really understand that God doesn't show favoritism." This is how God looks at your life, how God looks at the life of every person in the world. He does not show favoritism. An application to racism comes out in the word favoritism very obviously. When we hear that word in our English language, we probably think of maybe preferring one thing over another. I may favor a particular type of food over another, or I may favor a style of weather over and above something else. Sometimes we use that word in that way where it refers just to our opinions that we share. But when the word is used here in the Bible, it's not talking about, you know, a preference of one over the other that may be different but really equal. What God is saying is that he does not show favoritism at all in truth. It's not about personal preference. It's about the way that God has ordained the world to be. When you think about God as creator, favoritism among people goes back to the way that God created humanity. He created us equal. He created us in his image. Whether we're male or female, whether we're one ethnicity or another, whether we have certain cultural preferences versus others, God created us as humans, and therefore he shows no favoritism based on absolute truth. And that should shape the way that we look at one another. The word here for favoritism really means to make an unjust distinction about people because of something on their outward appearance. Doesn't that fit with what we see around us in terms of the evil of racism, the tendency, the inward desire, the thoughts and emotions and actions that cause us to judge others based on how they look to us? But God gets even more direct with the use of this word when you look at how it was used in the Greek language. It's a Greek word here in the New Testament. And when you look at the word, you start to see an even more direct application to this topic of racism. In the Greek mind, this word was really a combination of two. And what it meant was, first of all, to look upon something, but to look upon a person's face. It had those two elements that you're viewing with your own eyes, but it's another person's face or complexion that you're viewing, what they look like on the outside. And that was the Greek idea of what favoritism was. It was looking at someone's outward features. And when you dig a little bit deeper on the meaning of that word and how God chose to use that word here, you start to see how well it applies to the evil of racism. The fact that we want to judge others literally based on what they look like on their face. Some people may assume that the Bible doesn't really address racism because the word isn't used. But within this passage and many others like it throughout the scriptures, we had two others that used the same word from the New Testament in our scripture readings. In these areas, we see how God really does get to the core root issue of racism. And it comes back, first of all, to how God views people. He wants to direct our attention to that, first of all, that this is important to us. And we should listen to what he says because it builds off of how he views people. What we also see from the text is brings us into our second point, and that is that racism can come in many different forms. It's not simply a matter of doing something evil to someone who's a different race, but it really gets down to our emotions, our thoughts, the way that we view others in our minds. God makes a direct connection between what is in your heart and the actions that you do in your life. And it's not just with the topic of racism that this applies. God does this with just about any other sin in the Bible. Remember what Jesus taught about adultery, that it wasn't so much the act of committing adultery, but it was also the thought of lust in one's heart. Think about what the Bible says about murder, that whoever hates his brother is a murderer. It's about the thought in the heart. God continually makes this connection between the thoughts that we have and how those thoughts will show themselves in our actions. Similarly, then, in the topic of racism, it's important for us to understand the concept of prejudice and how that can affect the way that we think about others. There's a tendency for us in our minds to think, well, I've never done evil to somebody who's of another race. I've never actively discriminated against them. Therefore, I don't have to worry about racism. But God tells us to pay attention to the thought that can be in our hearts. And that comes in the form of prejudice. Prejudice isn't something that people can always see from the outside. And therefore, we can make ourselves feel complacent in our hearts that we're doing what we need to do and we're living the life that God called us to just because we're not doing something with our hands or with our actions. God's warning to us is consider what's in your heart. Continually throughout Scripture, God asks us to look at that. And in terms of racism, we have to be aware of prejudice and how that can affect our lives, even if we're not doing anything actively through our actions. We also come to learn that racism can exist in many different contexts. Racism can exist on an individual level from person to person. It can exist on a cultural level within a community. It can also exist on an institutional level among the different areas of maybe our society or our government or businesses that are we may have in the world around us. These domains are all separate, but we should recognize that they are linked together to one another as well. While I may not show any racist attitude in my actions directly to another individual, I may be affected by some of the racist thoughts or attitudes that could be in my culture, in my community, or maybe in some of the institutions that I'm involved in. And that can affect my life. These are things that God asks us to consider. And we get these lessons because we see them presented in the text before us when we dig a bit deeper into it. We see in Peter's attitude here how prejudice can affect the way that we treat one another. We see in Peter's lesson here how racism can exist on both an institutional, cultural, and personal level. We also see what God does to overcome that. Now here in this context, in Acts chapter 10, and I invite you to read the whole chapter, it's well worth your time. Here Peter is speaking to a man named Cornelius, and he witnesses to Cornelius and his family. Cornelius was a believer, but he was also a Gentile. And at that time in the church, as you probably know well, there was a lot of racial tension between Jews and Gentiles, and particularly how it affected their faith and how it would manifest itself in terms of the church. This theme is also present in many of the other New Testament letters in the Gospels, particularly the ones that the Apostle Paul wrote, because he addresses that issue head on. Now, Peter struggled in his heart about how he should minister to Cornelius and other Gentiles like him, because Peter was raised in a culture that emphasized a separation between Jews and Gentiles. Here again, we see the influence of an institution or a culture on how we view one another. It wasn't that Peter was openly hateful or discriminatory against Gentiles. He never displays that particular attitude. But he struggled in his heart about how to interact with Gentiles because of the culture in which he was raised. Think about this culture in Jewish history dating back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we see clearly that God called for a separation between Jews and Gentiles when it came to interacting with one another, and especially in terms of how they practiced their faith. The reason that God did this was not because he wanted to show favoritism to one ethnicity or race over and above another. It was because God was trying to keep preserved within the nation of Israel the message of the Savior and the messianic promise that needed to be fulfilled. God called for this separation in the Old Testament so that the Israelites would not enter into the idolatry of many of the Gentile nations around them and thereby lose the messianic promise, which would negatively affect all people. So God was quite strict with Israel in the Old Testament about keeping separate in these ways to preserve the messianic promise. Now, when Jesus comes on the scene and begins to fulfill what the Old Testament prophesied of him, God transitions away from this division between Jew and Gentile. But many of the Jewish Christians at that time, like Peter, struggled with this transition naturally, because the culture had taken God's command in many ways a bit farther than God ever intended it to go. So Peter exists right now in Acts chapter 10, trying to understand this in his mind, trying to see how he can best minister to Gentiles while also understanding and appreciating the culture where he came from and being respectful of God's commands in the Old Testament. And here in Acts chapter 10, the Lord helps him through. The Lord gives him a way through the gospel. Peter had been given a vision by God here that helped teach this lesson. And this vision was that sheet of ceremonially unclean animals that came down from the sky. Now, God told Peter, when witnessing this sheet of animals, he says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter immediately objects and says, "Lord, I can't. These things are ceremonially unclean. I'm not allowed as a Jew to touch them." Peter had that division in his mind. And God's message was clear. He responded to Peter and said, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." Now, three times God did this with Peter. And Peter meditated upon this and was trying to discern, what is God teaching me through this? Now, the next day is when Peter met Cornelius. And as he ministered to Cornelius, Peter realized the Holy Spirit led him to see what the Lord intended through this message. And Peter summarizes in verse 28 what he learned from the Holy Spirit. He says, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean." Peter realized by the Holy Spirit working through the Word that God's message here was not just about animals. It was about people. God led Peter to realize that he could lovingly and boldly proclaim the gospel of Christ to Gentiles and not worry anymore about being separate, because Christ had fulfilled those Old Testament laws. And so Peter went forward and ministered to Cornelius in our text today and shared the gospel to him very directly about what Jesus had accomplished for all people. And this led to Cornelius's faith being strengthened and to his entire household being baptized. And that's what led Peter, in the very last verse of our text, to proclaim, in summary, all the prophets testify about Jesus, that through his name, everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins. See how the gospel overcame that problem that Peter had, that difficulty, that struggle? It helped show him how he should appropriately view his Gentile brothers and sisters. But it also showed him and reminded those whom he ministered to what Jesus has done to overcome the differences that we see in one another. Racism is a problem from sin. And at its core, racism is its own form of idolatry, because it causes us to put a definition on someone that God himself does not put on. It causes us to judge a person as inferior or not worthy of something in a way that God himself has not judged. It puts our word over God's. It's good for us to recognize the many forms that racism can take and how pervasive it can be in our lives. It's valuable for us to understand the history of racism in our culture and in our nation and how easily it can affect our personal lives. And it's necessary, when we see the effects of racism in our community and in our lives, that we repent of those things and we ask Jesus to cleanse our hearts. But equally valuable to all of those things is also recognizing from God's word what racism is not. Racism is not a sin that is greater than any other. Racism is not something new. Racism is not something that the government can fix or that some type of social program is going to abolish. And racism is not something that is too great to overcome from the power and love that Jesus gives us in forgiveness. Sometimes the noise in the world around us about these topics that are so emotional and so personal to people can cause us to forget what God has to say about them. It can cause us to hope in our communities or in our governments or even in ourselves to overcome these issues when God tells us what Jesus has already done for us. That doesn't mean we can't use what we have before us now to learn more about problems, to better address them, to help those in need. We should foster the tools that God gives us, like education and activism and community work. We should use those things. But throughout that process, we can never forget what God himself has done. Just like we can never forget that the important thing is how God views us and how influential that is to how we view others. We can never minimize how important it is that Jesus has come for the whole world and how that is the cure to the ailments of racism in the world around us. Think of the power of Jesus as described by Peter. It says there how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God was with him. That's what we have in Jesus, the very same promises that he can work in our lives through his word. But sadly, as our nation heaves with anguish over this issue, as communities come together and speak out about it, as individuals offer their solutions, it's sad that we've seen very little of Jesus on people's hearts and on people's lips. God grant us humility to learn from our mistakes and a penitent heart to apply the law to our hearts when we have been overcome with thoughts or actions of racism. Like Peter, sometimes we too are confused and uncertain. But God made the answer clear for him, and he opened up a way for healing through the gospel of Jesus. And that message changed the early church. That message abolished the racial tensions between Jews and Gentiles in the kingdom of God. Because Jesus defeated the tyranny of the devil, because Jesus won through his death and resurrection, he overcame that racial discord in the early church. And God says the same thing can work in our lives today if we will listen to what he says. The good news of Jesus, as we see presented to Peter today, changed his heart, which changed his thoughts, which changed his attitude, which changed his words, which changed his actions. And God worked that through all of the members of the early church, just like he did for Peter, and that changed the world at that time. Is it any bigger of a surprise that God could do the same for us in our world today? Racism may always be something that we struggle with, just like a host of other sins in our lives. But it doesn't have to be something that tears us apart. It doesn't have to be something that creates great divisions in our nation, in our community. It doesn't have to be something that ruins our relationships and even our faith in Jesus. God can make the same change happen in our lives. In fact, he pleads with us to heed these very lessons from his word, where he has done that exact thing in the lives of Christians who came before us. Let us be thankful today as we seek to address some of these cultural issues that we see in our world around us. Let us be thankful that we have a God who does not judge based on what a person looks like. And he empowers us to do the same, to not come to judgments and conclusions because of what a person's face looks like. God can certainly then lead, equip, and strengthen us in our lives to overcome those barriers of racism. And not only through that can God show us the problem and help expose it, but he can solve it in his grace and mercy. Because not only does God teach us how to look at others, he tells us that his face shines upon the world with favor through Jesus Christ. That the light of the gospel can go out into the world and open up sinful human hearts and change them. Let us share that message of the gospel with the world around us, with the whole world. Because it's meant for all people, and all people desperately need it. Let us look to Jesus, our Savior from sin, as our leader and as our brother in this task. In his name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.